Hi everyone, thank you for the opportunity to be here. It was Dadi who invited me to speak today, and essentially what Dadi asked me to do is just share some stories of life in L'Arche, and trying to consider what I could share with you. I also wanted to tie in the theme of spiritual gifts, and so they kind of tie in with the reading that we appreciated, and I wanted to share briefly this idea. Since we have many guests here, I know many here with Eighth Day have known L'Arche for many years. Some of you have maybe even helped the community start at the very beginning. In D.C., but essentially L'Arche exists as both a service provider and a faith community. So as a service provider, we offer support to people with intellectual disabilities, their fellow community members, and so they receive care with their medical needs and finances and various other experiences. But then we also live as a faith community. So I live in a home with, at the moment, 8 other members, and we try to support each other and grow together. And that's essentially what brings a lot of people to L'Arche. It's not so much a vocation in terms of work, but just a way of life. And we recognize many of these gifts that I'd like to share with you. So these gifts are very uniquely experienced in L'Arche. The first one I would say is mutuality, forgiveness, celebration, vulnerability, simplicity, acceptance, welcome, belonging, solidarity, and covenant relationships. So some of you that have known L'Arche for a long time, maybe you can think of some of the members that you know and how they've exhibited those gifts. And I'm just hopeful to share stories with you of my own experiences. So prior to joining L'Arche in Greater Washington, D.C., I lived with the community in Clinton, Iowa, just for a short period of time. They invite people to come and discern before you commit for a longer period of time. And in that time, I was invited to live with, 6 other men. 4 of the men were core members and then a fellow assistant. And right when I moved in, everybody was talking about going on vacation together. And the guys that were going to be paired as roommates would tease one another and say, "I'm going to tickle your feet at night," you know. And it became like an ongoing thing. And we talk about it before prayer, like every night is a month before we were going on vacation. And they kept saying, "I'm going to tickle your feet." And so I knew I was going to be with George on vacation, and he'd always say, "I'm going to tickle your feet," and I'd say, "I'm going to do it to him too." And it just became this like anticipation, like we're going to do this once it actually happens. And yeah. So we went to St. Louis. They were founding the L'Arche community there. At the time, they were in the process, and we were invited to stay at this guest's home, and George was getting ready to go to bed, and I was having him, you know, get into bed and stuff, and I tickled his feet, and he's like, "Hey, you," and I was just laughing. You know, and I said goodnight to him, and I realized he would never have the opportunity to tickle mine because I'd stay up later. He was going to bed about 8 o'clock, and we weren't in the same room the way the guest had us stay. And so it's kind of, you know, I accepted that. And so the next morning, we were out in the living room waiting for our host to be with us for breakfast, and I was kind of sitting cross-legged like this on the couch. And George points over to another part and says, "Look over there." And I look, and he tickles my foot. And I felt so much joy. Like, I can't, it's one of the most joyful experiences of my life to talk about it for a month and keep talking about it. And I just felt so happy. So, yeah, it's just a wonderful experience. Yeah. So that was definitely a joyful experience. And another joyful experience is being with Bruce at 6th Street. So I'm currently a member of Highland House, but before that I lived at 6th Street in Arlington. And Bruce would often offer to take out the trash at night, the trash and the recycling. And it would be a lot easier just to take it out myself, to run down the steps, out the porch, and throw it in the trash can. Bruce uses a walker, you know, with the wheels. But he would offer, and so it's like a way that we could bond together. And so we'd put a little can on top of his walker and walk out and use like a lift and go outside, you know. It's like a thing, but then when we were there, we would joke around. And one time he pointed out the moon as we were outside, and he's like, "It looks like a banana," because it's like a crescent. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it kind of looks like a fingernail clipping," you know, and we're just laughing about what the moon looked like, you know. And I'm not sure if it was the following day, but it was later on, we went to a park together, and it was my first time walking with Bruce apart from his walker. So the way we walk together is kind of, I hold underneath his arm and we just walk side by side, and it's a very wonderful experience to walk with Bruce. And we sat on a park bench, and we were just talking, and there's birds in the sky, and it's just a beautiful day, like the breeze was blowing through the trees. And I noticed like somebody was advertising a yard sale and they used the different colors of the rainbow for t-shirts and they wrote yard sale on it. So it was like a rainbow there, you know. And then Bruce pointed out the moon in the sky in the afternoon. And I just felt so happy. Like here we have bonded over this all this time, taking out the trash. And here Bruce notices the moon in the middle of the afternoon. It's in the sky, you know. So definitely joy is a wonderful experience in L'Arche. And it comes in all these small little moments. Like just before we started, I noticed these flowers here. And if Fritz was with us, he'd be like gazing at these flowers. Like he loves flowers so much. And even times when we've gone on vacation together, he'll want to buy flowers on vacation. So like we'll go to a grocery store and buy a vase and like he'll have them in the hotel room, you know. And I'm thinking like, Fritz, it would make sense to buy them and then have them at the house, you know, but he wants to have them on vacation to make it more special and then brings them home, you know. So, and sometimes when Fritz gets haircuts, like he'll very, very firm, like, I want to get a haircut today. And it's like, okay, let's do it. And as he like gets his hair buzzed, he's like feeling it like this. And so definitely joy is something that, you know, I've experienced in many parts of my life. I've had a lot of good experiences, but in L'Arche, I experience it in a very unique way with my fellow community members. And I also want to share about vulnerability, particularly in the experience of grief. So going back to the Iowa community, while I was present there, I offered support to a man named Victor. And while I was with him, you know, Victor needed support with bathing and with taking care after he used the bathroom and just a lot of different supports that he needed, some lotion on his forehead at night and different things, and we went to the Special Olympics together. I remember cheering him on as he played basketball, and towards the end of my time there, we also went golfing together with Special Olympics. And so after I joined L'Arche, Greater Washington, D.C., I went back to visit the Iowa community, and Victor was in a nursing home then. L'Arche was no longer able to support him with all his physical needs. And so I'd often like walk up when the other guys were at the day program and just sit with Victor in the nursing home and hold his hand and listen to him breathe and just like we'd go out into this little courtyard and it's like a beautiful fall afternoon. And I remember being with him in the cafeteria one time and helping him eat because the nurse there allowed me to help him. And it's just very powerful to be with him that week, in addition to visiting the L'Arche community and just sit with Victor and just be with him. And I just remember like there was one time he was in bed and these two aides came in with like this device to help lift him out of bed and support him. And it's just, you know, it's a hard experience, but it's wonderful. Like, I just felt so peaceful sitting with him. And I imagine anyone that's been with somebody that's in a state, you know, in the hospital, or maybe some of you have been to Joseph's house, or I don't know, like, it's just remarkable to be with somebody towards the end of their life. And when Victor passed away and I was in Arlington, I just was filled with grief. I particularly felt it in my stomach, like, and I just couldn't cry. Like, I was incapable of crying. I just felt this pain, and I was just, like, begging God for some relief. And I actually just mentioned that I went to a retreat. I actually went to this retreat house because I knew it was a place where I could get some solitude, and I knocked on this door at, like, 8 o'clock at night and asked this priest if I could just have some solitude in their chapel and cry, but I could not cry. And I was just like begging God like for relief from this grief that, you know, thinking of Victor and how I had supported him taking a bath and now his body is buried, you know. And, you know, it wasn't really until we have what's called Faith in Sharing on Tuesday mornings where we have the opportunity to kind of lead each other on reflections about life and community and spirituality. And I decided to lead one on tenderness, and I talked about Victor's gift of kind of just putting an arm on a shoulder or giving these hugs. And I shared about how he used to take people's hands and just rest their hand against his cheek, just like this, you know. And in that moment, like, I just started crying in front of everybody. And it was just such a gift to be with everyone and to be held in that, you know. Like, so, like, vulnerability in that context, like, I've never had, you know, I've definitely had different moments in my life, but just being able to share Victor's, his experience, And also, you know, another experience of grief was Linda came to L'Arche living with her mom and dad for, you know, until she was, you know, I'd say in her early 50s. And, you know, when her mother passed, many of the members of L'Arche went to her funeral service. And just the ways that Linda honored her mom after her mom passed by putting a picture of her mom and dad in the living room and praying for her every night to be able to rest. And I, recently, many of you, I imagine, attended the L'Arche's Jubilee celebration we had at America University, and I had the opportunity to usher with Linda, which is something that she did with her mom at her church, and it's just so beautiful. Linda wore this Austrian jacket, which her mom is from Austria, and just passing the collection plate back and forth, and after we were done, we went down for a reception, and another member of L'Arche Spiri was really good at playing the piano. His name's Richard, and I asked him to play Edelweiss, because it's one of Linda's favorite songs from Sound of Music, and it's just so beautiful to like honor her mom, you know. So prior to L'Arche, I could say that I never really knew what grief was or knew how to experience it. And I remember my grandpa passing and kind of suppressing those feelings and never taking the time to process. But through being in community, I've learned that it's a beautiful experience to grieve with others. So I shared about joy, the tickling of the feet and grief and vulnerability. But I also want to share about forgiveness. There's one day when I was like running around the house trying to be extra efficient, like taking care of paperwork and writing a check for somebody and handling some medical paperwork. And I misplaced this check. And I was convinced that Charles at my house had taken it to kind of pull a joke on me. And I was like, Charles, I'd like the check back. And he kept insisting that he didn't have it. And I became more and more mad thinking that he had taken it, you know, and where else could it be? I checked everywhere. And I insisted, like, he took it. And then later on, I found it, you know, it was behind a bookcase. And so that night, as Charles was getting ready for bed, I said, Charles, you know, I'm sorry I accused you. And what I didn't realize is prior to coming to L'Arche, he lived in like a group home setting, and they accused him of stealing things, which he hadn't done, and he takes that very personally. And I said to Charles, I'm sorry. And I looked at him, and he said, I don't forgive you, and turned his back and went to bed. And that was so hard to not be forgiven in that moment. But it was like 2 days later, we were at church together, and he doesn't typically go to Our Lady Queen of Peace, he goes to St. Mary's. But Charles turned to me, we were side by side, and it was the sign of peace, and he just gave me this big hug and held me and said, peace, brother, you know? And that was forgiveness, you know, in the purest sense. Like, I've never felt so forgiven and held, like, but it took a day or so to, like, sit in that unease of, like, I just basically accused him of stealing something, and now he forgave me, you know? Another instance of forgiveness was a group of us from my home, Francine included. We went up to visit my parents after Thanksgiving, and it was good to bond with everybody. We went to like a chocolate factory and went to places where I went when I was a child. And my dad made a little bit of a comment under his breath that Eva, who was with us, was walking too slow and she was taking her time and I should encourage her to walk faster. And Eva heard this. And so when we came back to Arlington, she mentioned that she had heard it. And she kept bringing it up at different instances, even in the context of a lot of people around. And I was getting upset with Eva. I'm like, I can understand that that hurt your feelings, but why are you telling everyone? And I just felt so uncomfortable that Eva was like talking about my dad that way. But then I realized, like, and another assistant sat with Eva and was talking about this metaphor of carrying a backpack full of those little pumpkins, you know, that you get around, you know, Halloween, or and like how that's a burden. And the need for forgiveness is kind of like unloading those pumpkins and having less on your back. And so he gave this beautiful metaphor that Eva really understood. And she actually spoke with my dad on the phone and, you know, came to forgiveness. And I realized, like, she was teaching me that there was things that I hadn't forgiven about my dad and about my family, and things that I didn't even seek forgiveness for my own brother about. So, like, it was just a beautiful experience to see that in her ability to forgive my dad, I could grow an awareness of how I had needed to grow in forgiveness, too. So that was a wonderful experience. And the last thing I wanted to share is this idea of commitment. Prior to L'Arche, I did a variety of different things, even before L'Arche, before going to college. I was a year in AmeriCorps, then I went to school, then I lived in Chicago for a year with an intentional community, then I went to Iowa, then I lived with a community and did some volunteer work in Pennsylvania, like all over. And I think this is common to people in today's culture. It's hard to find like a place to put down roots and feel a sense of commitment. But when I came to L'Arche, I was so filled with anxiety, like overwhelmed, like feeling lacking confidence in cooking meals and driving, like not having a clue how to navigate like in Arlington, or let alone come over to DC and visit, you know, like just, I kept comparing myself to other assistants and feeling like I lacked and I had no tangible gifts, you know. And there was one night where somebody suggested that everybody go to the Air Force Memorial. They're having a free concert. And typically, I would never go to such a thing, you know, like, I don't want to be, yeah, but I would consider myself more of a pacifist. I want to attend something that, you know, supports the military, you know, but I don't judge people that, yeah, I just don't want to be part of, like, something like that. But like, I just felt the desire to go along with everybody that evening. And, you know, they're playing some nice music, some songs like Somewhere Over the Rainbow and different contemporary songs. And Francine, who's with me tonight, she chose to sit apart from the group. So maybe about seven of us were sitting in the grass, and Francine, you sat over kind of, if you know the area, I don't know, just on a little wall side. And so I sat with Francine, and while we were sitting there together, like, there's a breeze in the air and it was warm, and I just become filled with this peace and this awareness that I'm called to be in L'Arche, and so is Francine, and that no matter what, God would provide for us. You know, like, it was an awareness, you know, it wasn't so much a voice or like a, I don't know what to describe it, but I just felt so peaceful and relieved after all that anxiety of transitioning. And one way Francine's really helped me to remain committed to L'Arche is we walk together to church. We walk from our home to Our Lady Queen of Peace, which is about, I'd say, a mile and a half, and it's just a beautiful walk down, you know, we go down a back neighborhood, and it's just a wonderful way that we bond together, and I'm so grateful Francine's with us today and that she came along, and I just love your joy, Francine. Thank you for being here. And the last person I wanted to share about was Hazel, another housemate, but we had the opportunity to go to Lourdes to be part of a pilgrimage, and while Hazel was sitting with some other pilgrims, because that's how they had it laid out during this worship service, I was just looking at Hazel, and I realized that she's my sister. You know, she's very much my sister, and that I'm called to love her. And by love, I mean not just like affection, or but like remain committed to Hazel. You know, this idea of covenant relationships. And I was like, I need help in order to be committed in that way. And I just became filled with this awareness that God would provide that help to remain committed, you know. So just these little moments, you know, everything from, you know, George tickling my foot, and that, like, I can hold on to that and share that with you. Like, you know, Eva teaching me about forgiveness. That's what keeps me committed to L'Arche. I've been here, I'd say, you know, 4.5 years, and I'm hopeful to travel to L'Arche in India, actually, in 3 weeks, and spend some time with the community there for a couple months. But I'm just so grateful for communities like Eighth Day and Our Lady Queen of Peace and St. Mary's and different churches that welcome us and help us to experience belonging beyond our own community. So thank you for the love you offer us. And I want to invite the members of L'Arche that feel comfortable, if you'd like to stand where you are, and I just offer a blessing to the Eighth Day community. We can do the blessing song like we do. Francine, if you'd like to come up here with me.
May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May the blessing of the Lord upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.